More event cancellations, something new from Google, OnePlus 8 reviews, and a lot more coming up shortly. Hi, hello, namaste, what's up geeks? Welcome to episode 107 of the Tech Podcast Without All the Tech. I'm Vikram Mohan. Also on this week from other podcasts on Foursquare, Binge On has animation for grown-ups, two movies and two TV series covering four different types of animation. How's that? And on Attention Plus, Arnab shares some tips for acing the technical job interview. Head over to foursquare.net to listen and subscribe. That's the number 4, SPIRE.net. And now back to our show. And rejoining us today, I should say, is Vijay. Hey, Vijay.
Hey, hello.
Yeah, hi, Vijay. How are you?
I am good. So what do we have for today?
Okay, we've got a little bit of news to cover. So let's get right down to broken news. Where is my show notes? Yes, it is the season of cancellations. So as we had reported much earlier in the show, Google I/O which was supposed to be a couple of weeks ago, was cancelled. And last week we had said that Google had scheduled something called the Google Beta Show, where they would release Android 11. Is it, Vijay? Right now it would be Android 11, right?
Yeah, Android 11.
So the official beta release of Android 11 and some other announcements, possibly the Pixel 4a. That show was supposed to happen, and also Sony was supposed to have a show where they released officially announced the PlayStation 5. And as you would have gathered, since I kept using the word was supposed to happen, both these events have been postponed, not cancelled, postponed. And this time it's not due to COVID, but it's rather because of the ongoing situation in the US, which, in fact, Vijay, you happened to be in Minneapolis where the unfortunate incident occurred, and it's kind of the epicenter of all the riots, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it happened in Minneapolis, but things seem to be largely back in control now. There are a few protests going on, but mostly peaceful ones, not much of destruction happening now, and hope it basically maintains that.
Yeah, and absolutely, I don't want to, that's a much more, way more important conversation that needs to happen. So if a PlayStation announcement or a Android beta is postponed, no big deal. But I think certainly, what's happening in some ways is good. At least I hope it brings about a positive change. But moving on, before we get into it being a what's up political geeks, this kind of made me excited that there's a new version of the Raspberry Pi out. Not a completely new next version, but rather they've released a 8GB version of the Raspberry Pi with 8GB of RAM. Vijay, do you have a Raspberry Pi, or have you ever had any of them till now?
No, I have never bought a Raspberry Pi till now. Of course, I have always been reading news about it, but never got the time never got around to, even though it's something that I want to do, but I so far haven't found the time to actually buy one and, tinker around with that.
I actually have a Raspberry Pi 2. In a tiny little case, I think it's still dangling from behind the TV. But honestly, I think I don't remember the last time we even used that HDMI port and activated it. So I'm not going to be checking this one out in a hurry. But it is good to see that this computing platform is continuing to evolve, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. It's good that I think people have really done, it has been way more successful than what probably they might have anticipated in the beginning. I think people have put the Raspberry Pi to really, you know, unique and innovative users. So I think it makes sense to, you know, provide a new variant that people can use for some other interesting stuff.
So I read an article which said that they were actually planning. I mean, there is no reason why they couldn't have made it a 16 GB version, except for one reason is that the Raspbian OS, which is the Linux version, which is the most popular operating system for Raspberry Pi, that is still a 32-bit operating system. So it cannot address memory beyond 8 GB, I believe. So it won't, even if you have a 16 GB version, Raspbian would not be able to address it. So they decided to go with the 8 GB version till a 64-bit version of the OS is released.
Okay.
And this news got me excited. It probably might have been one of the outcomes of the beta show had it happened. And it was that there is news quite at this point, I guess it's quite confirmed, 99% there, that there is going to be a new version of Chromecast. We don't know that it will be called a Chromecast, but essentially it looks like a Chromecast. But instead of, you know, being a dumb Chromecast, this one comes with a remote and it runs Android TV and a brand new version of Android TV. You do, of course, you have the NVIDIA Shield.
Yeah, I have the NVIDIA Shield and I used to, I mean, I pretty much had, I think the original Chromecast as well as the Chromecast, the Ultra, which was the 4K version. Yeah, they were very useful devices in their time, but I think they got outdated very fast. I think it's about time that this Android TV based Chromecast should have been released at least a couple of years ago. I think it's long
over. Absolutely. I think couple also would be a little kind because Roku and Fire Stick are what, about 4 years old or 5 years old at this point?
I think at least 5 years old, yeah.
So Google is very late into the game, but hopefully they bring some differentiation. And of course, we have no idea what it will be called. There is some rumor that instead of being Chromecast or Android TV, Google will call it Google TV, which is kind of funny because Android TV initially was called Google TV. Then they renamed it to Android TV. And anyway, Google is... at this point, I think Google makes Microsoft seem good in terms of, you know, branding, the way they've been messing around with their brand names. And I'm not sure you are aware of this, but there was this app that went viral in India. It was in all the WhatsApp groups, and I don't know, I never installed it, but the app basically, I think it was called Remove China Apps. I mean, the name was pretty described the feature set. Basically, the app would scan your all the apps on your phone and tell you which are the ones which are supposedly made in China and urge you to uninstall them. And that app has been pulled from the Play Store because it violates Play Store policies. Not much to discuss there. But, you know, this is one of those apps, like I was remembering that, what is that bird game which became so
Flappy Bird,
exactly, and it became so popular, and for some weird reason the developer pulled it from the app store, right?
Yeah, I think he had made too much. I think he was one of those guys who basically just did it for kicks, and then he basically felt that it was not worth all the money it was earning, so he just pulled it voluntarily after of course he has made a sizable chunk of money out of that.
Of course, this one was not pulled voluntarily. It was rather kicked out of the store because it violated policy. So basically, but similarly, it was a very short ride. It became very popular and of course it went away. And finally, coming back to Google, Pixel users got a third Pixel feature drop. So previous ones had some, I think one of them came in when I had my Pixel 3, and I think we got the offline translation or something like that, the offline captions and all that. I don't remember what the second feature drop was, but the third one, nothing dramatic, slightly better battery life for Pixel 4. And Pixel 4 apparently also has a car crash detection feature where if you have a Pixel 4 and Google feels that you're in a car accident, it'll dial emergency automatically. So that feature has been brought forward to the Pixel 3 as well. Anything that excites you here? Maybe the battery life?
Pixels, I think at least the Pixel 3, the smaller version, not the XL, but the smaller version had pretty average or below average battery life. So anything that would help in enhancing that, I think, would be a good thing. But I read of one more feature which I thought was interesting and good, like especially for women. I think there was a feature where they can basically set a kind of an alarm or whatever that, you know, if they don't cancel it after a particular time, then it will basically send their location details to whoever they have designated.
I didn't know
that. So they can turn that on if they are going for, like, say, somewhere where they feel that they may not be, there may be chances of them not being safe. And they don't have to do anything once they turn it on. And once they say, like, you know, it's going to be like 2 hours or whatever, at the end of that time, it will basically send their location details regardless, unless they go in and cancel through that app.
I hope that's a beautiful one. I hope it becomes a standard Android feature even across versions. Seems should be useful.
Yeah. Especially given the incidents in the last year or so.
Absolutely.
I think, especially in India, it will be a really good feature to have. But one thing is, you know, Google has been pretty poor in the way they have rolled out these features. First of all, you know, typical of Google, it takes ages to get into every, say, Pixel phone, even though they have complete control over Pixel from, you know, hardware down to software, everything, but it still takes ages. I remember that my Pixel 3, till I had it, it was one of the last to receive the feature drops, the Pixel 3, and I never received the Pixel feature drops on my Pixel 1, even though officially it was supposed to get that feature drop as well, but it never got it. So it seems like, when I read through some of the articles, it looks like they found some issues and they had to pull the feature drop for the original Pixels. It's not been a smooth rollout so far in the earlier feature drops. Hope they have ironed out those kinks in the current one.
Not to get back into our last week's rant about Google Pixel, but you'd think that almost $1 trillion corporation, which has, you know, only a handful of users with their phone, would be able to do a much, much better job of managing and giving them a good experience, no?
Yeah, especially when they have aspirations to be, the peer of Apple.
Absolutely. Anyway, so for more rant about the Google Pixel, you might want to listen to episode 107, the previous episode, where the feature story, of course, was Google's Pixel problems. And you can hear Vijay and me rant about the Pixel and Google's mismanagement in that entire area. For now, let's take a quick break. And on the other side, today's feature story is going to be about the OnePlus 8. So we'll be right back. Welcome back. And as promised, a couple of weeks back or a couple of episodes back, we had said that once the OnePlus 8 reviews are in, we will keep you updated. So you don't have to read all the 140 reviews that are out there. You can just listen to WhatsApp Geeks and get to know the meta reviews. We read all the reviews so that you don't have to. And this week, of course, the OnePlus 8 released almost like it seems a long time ago, but thanks to the situation, and it's just started shipping, and so you I think the embargo was lifted, So the reviews have started coming up only off late. So Vijay, you want to get us started? About, let's start with reminding, refreshing people on what the OnePlus 8 specs are.
Yeah, I think OnePlus 8, I mean, this I have to basically appreciate OnePlus, where after seeing, you know, most of the brands go with like some ridiculously high pricing in India, OnePlus has, you know, made actually the most attractive pricing for India for their flagships, and that is really good, and I hope other brands they follow the same trend, especially, you know, if you're listening Google. So OnePlus 8, they actually created a new variant that is only available for India and probably China. This is basically the 6 GB RAM variant, which is what is the starting of the range in India. So it comes with the latest Snapdragon 855 processor, 6 GB of RAM, 128 GB of storage, and 4300 mAh battery. So it also has other variants which, you know, bump up the RAM to 8 GB and 12 GB respectively, and that I think the top end 12 GB comes with 256 GB storage. So yeah, I think that helped OnePlus in kind of giving a very attractive pricing. But even their higher variants are still cheaper or as cheap as what it is in other countries. So
right. Also, last time we spoke, you had said that you were telling me about the storage that OnePlus uses, and this is based on an article in Anand Tech, I believe. You want to repeat that for our listeners?
Oh yeah. So I mean, this is basically, I mean, it's there are a couple of things. I think OnePlus is something that is unique among all the other Chinese brands. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Xiaomi or any of the other Vivo and others, but basically OnePlus is not just about showing the latest and greatest specs, but they actually take care of the internal design of the phone to a level where, you know, they actually need not, given their their pricing structure, they actually need not go to such engineering details, but which, you know, the regular users are not even going to care about, they will not even be aware of, but actually they have a lot of stuff in the internal that actually make their phones perform really great. And one of it is, of course, the UFS 3.1, which is, I think OnePlus was the first with the, I think the 7 series, I think they were the 7 Pro series, they were the first ones to adopt that UFS 3.1. And I think now probably the Galaxy phones have that as well. But basically, this is the absolutely fastest storage mechanism right now. And that's the reason why on your OnePlus phones, especially if you have the 7 Pro onwards, the app loading and install times are like blazing fast. You hardly ever see the progress bar going in, especially if it's like a normal sized app.
And you have the 7 Pro, right?
Yeah, I have the 7 Pro, and I think the 8 Pro has much more advanced features, but I think the OnePlus 8 as such is largely similar to the 7 Pro and the 7T. There is not huge improvement, but I think the OnePlus 8 Pro definitely has some additional things that make it very attractive.
And of course, let's talk about the numbers with respect to the cameras. I'm reading out 48 megapixel main camera, a 16 megapixel ultra wide, and a 2 megapixel macro camera, which apparently the 2 megapixel macro has received a little bit of complaints that, you know, it's not as good as the one in the OnePlus 7 Pro itself. Apparently they've changed the macro lens and it's not as good. And there's a 16 megapixel selfie one.
The 7 Pro does not have a macro. It was only introduced with the 7T.
Yes.
So yeah, the 7T, but like my wife Priya has a 7T, and that macro camera is definitely impressive. I have tried it out several times and been impressed with the close-ups that it's capable of. So it's sad to see that they downgraded that a bit for the next version.
And of course, every version, OnePlus talks up the cameras and says that, this time we've got a camera that beats it. With the OnePlus 8, honestly, they've not, it's not anywhere close to beating the Pixel. But I did read an article that DxOMark, it scored above the Galaxy S20 and also above the iPhone 11.
I think especially since I think probably the OnePlus 7 onwards, I think OnePlus has really stepped up their camera game, and they are getting closer and closer to the actual flagships in that aspect, which that was, I think, probably the only big negative point till now, where they were not able to compare with the camera performance. And I think now they have made a lot of improvements, and it's still not like 100% there, but I think they are reaching, they are pretty close there to be, on par with most of the flagships. And I think OnePlus, again, in similar lines to Apple, they can probably claim that, this OnePlus 8 camera is the best OnePlus camera ever.
Absolutely. Though, of course, the OnePlus 8 Pro reviews are not yet in. I'm not sure whether you read about this, but what the OnePlus 8 Pro also has this other camera, which is the color filter, which has run into a little bit of trouble. Did you read those stories?
Yeah, OnePlus 8 has a color filter camera, and it has some interesting effects. I'm absolutely sure it was not designed for that, but basically it tends to use the, since it's filtering for only the infrared spectrum, it's actually achieving almost like an X-ray vision, but not quite 100% there, but
right,
it's reasonably there. And that could be put to some misuse by people if they want to. And I think OnePlus accidentally, or I don't know, within air quotes, accidentally pulled that feature recently in one of their updates, and they have said that they will restore it back. So let's see how that goes.
I did read that they had issued an update which disabled it. I just didn't know that it's within quotes, like you said, accidental. I thought they kind of, I assumed that it was because of the fact that, they produced X-ray vision and they wanted to correct it for now, or they wanted to stop it for now.
No, I think I read it in a couple of places that, it was not intentional to disable that.
The other place where the OnePlus 8 has been getting great reviews, stellar reviews, is the display. Continuing from the 7T, of course, the OnePlus 8 also continues to have a 90 Hertz display. Now, honestly, as someone who has never used one at any length of time, I have played around with the OnePlus 7T Pro and 8. Honestly, in 2 minutes of usage, I couldn't see so too much of benefit of having a 90 Hertz screen. Your Pro has 90 or does it have 120?
No, the Pro still has a 90. I think Pro and then the 70 and then the 8 all have 90, and it's only the 8 Pro that has the 120. But I think similar to how the jump was from normal screens to HD and then from HD to 4K, this kind of follows a similar pattern. You can definitely, it may not be evident with just a couple of minutes of usage, but over a period of time, you can definitely see the difference between the regular 60 Hertz and 90. But then from 90 to 120, it is very difficult to actually observe the difference. Same way, 4K, it takes a while to notice any difference between like a really good 1080p footage and 4K footage. So I think, but I think, you know, since they are innovating there, I mean, they basically are taking, forcing other flagship vendors to also basically move up the chain and, you know, in add some more high refresh rate screens. And I think it's overall good that if that this technology trickles down to the more budget phones in future.
Yeah, rumor is that by the year end, Apple is going to invent 90 hertz or high refresh rate displays with the iPhone 12. But that remains.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be only on the Pro, iPhone Pros. Right. The regular ones will continue with 60 hertz, but I think the Pro ones will have 120 hertz. Is what the rumors are.
They'll invent that. And of course, the other place where OnePlus has always scored well is with the battery life and the charging. Not is it Warp or is it Dash? What's it called now? It was called Warp Charge. I think it's
Dash. No, it is still called Warp. I think originally it was called Dash. Now it's called Warp.
Okay. Anyway, whatever it's called, it's beautiful. I mean, 30 watt wired charging. The 8 doesn't have wireless charging. That's only reserved for the 8 Pro. So 4,300 mAh battery, and all the reviews unanimously they say that you know, with normal usage, getting through an entire day is a breeze. Which, wow, I mean, yeah, I'm happy with my iPhone 11 battery too. I mean, I get through the entire day quite easily. But my wife has a S9, and man, no, that doesn't get through a day. And of course, I don't want to again bring back Pixel, but the lesser said about the battery life there, the better. You must be getting a stellar battery life too with your 7 Pro. 7,
yeah, the 7 Pro. 7 Pro. No, 7 Pro. 7 Pro has a 4000 mAh battery, which is like about 300 mAh short of the 8, but and it has a higher resolution screen as well. It has a 2K screen. So it's definitely harder on the battery for the 7 Pro, but even in spite of that, I have been able to comfortably make it till my bedtime, you know, with about 20-25% left on the phone.
Wow.
And once I switch my display to, you know, the 1080p, it definitely comfortably makes it through like to a whole 24 hours. So yeah, I mean, if you are, and since OnePlus 8 is the 1080p screen, I'm not surprised that it's comfortably making it for 24 hours. And same goes for even the 7P. It has, I think, around a 3,800 mAh battery, and with my, with typical usage, I think it comfortably makes it till like almost a day.
And of course, should you run out of charge, like we said, the 30 watt fast charging is phenomenal. I think even 15 minutes or 10 minutes kind of gives you hours of usage. So OnePlus has that going for it. It looks like this is a paid promo, but yeah, we were just kind of reading out the reviews here. The next also getting a lot of appreciation is the fingerprint scanner, because typically on-screen fingerprint scanners have never been accurate. I don't remember which phone it was recently where the reviewer kept tapping the screen and it never worked. I think it was one of those, I forgot which one. Probably the latest Motorola. Yes, I think that was it. Where he said 6 times out of 10, it did not work. So, but OnePlus seems to have some secret sauce, and they seem to have the best on-screen fingerprint scanner.
Yeah, I think, they were the, I think, one of the early ones again to put the under display fingerprint with the OnePlus 6T. And even though that model had apparently some issues where, again, the fingerprint reader was very laggy, and it used to take, after a while, it used to take several tries to get it to work. I think with each version, they have actually made improvements. And I would say my 7 Pro works reasonably well, but I still occasionally find that I have to, place my finger more than once to get it to unlock. And if it is even more improved in the OnePlus 8, then I can see that it's. I'm pretty satisfied with OnePlus 7 Pro's fingerprint scanner, but I definitely can see that it could use some more improvement. And hopefully, I think OnePlus 8, retains that fast scanning thing after a while. I mean, it doesn't go dull or anything like that.
Yeah, apparently OnePlus also has one of the largest areas for the scanner, because for most of the other phones, there's a very precise area of the screen where you need to keep your thumb, and apparently it's larger for the OnePlus phones, which is definitely useful.
Yep.
And of course, last among that is the version of Android. It ships with Android 10, and OnePlus has been probably among the best in terms of update, not just updating, but also keeping the Android version itself clean. They don't have too many duplicate apps, unlike a certain Samsung. And apparently with OnePlus 8, my one complaint with the OnePlus launcher was that when you swipe to the right, instead of the Google Discover, you used to get that OnePlus shelf or whatever it was called. Now that's gone, and you get the Google Discover feed, which is yay, superb. I guess, in fact, I would say at this point, I probably prefer OnePlus version of Android to even the one which is on Pixel. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think it's definitely way more customizable than the Android that's on Pixel, which is surprising really to see. And I hope, Google learns few tricks from OnePlus and incorporates them into the the regular Android versions. They have been I think at the forefront in providing OS updates. My 7 Pro came with Android 9 out of the box, and moment I turned it on, because I bought it like about 6 months into when the 7T had been released, I bought it around that time. So when I opened up and turned it on, the first update I got itself was for the Android 10.
Ah, nice.
They have released like a couple of additional updates since then. And just to do some bug fixes and add some minor features. So it's a combination of bug fixes, security patch, and feature drops, where they updated some new features into the camera app and all that. So yeah, I mean, they are pretty good at support. I think they are one of the few that basically make sure that they release the latest Android version for their phones within like less than 6 months of after it becomes generally available.
Right. Absolutely. And so coming to some of the complaints about it, though, I think it's about, some people would be saying it's about time we spoke about that. With OnePlus 8, they borrowed some design touches from Samsung, which Samsung itself has dropped with the S20, and that is of having the screen curving on both sides. And of course, like I said, my wife has an S9, and I can see the problem, because quite often when you hold the phone, there are accidental touches because the screen is overlapping with your palm. And that apparently is something that happens even with OnePlus 8. And I don't know why OnePlus would want a curved screen when, I don't know. It looks good, but honestly, it doesn't add any value beyond that. Does the 7 or 7T have a curved screen?
Yeah, my 7 Pro has a curved screen. 7T, they managed to go back to a flat screen. And I think that is the best option
But do you ever face an issue with the curved screen?
Yes, occasionally. The thing is, it needs to have some, it has to have some way to reject those unintentional screen touches, because you are holding it and some right. of your finger parts of your finger might actually be touching the screen even because of the curve. So occasionally I see that, when I just turn it on, suddenly, either some app or app drawer will open up when I didn't even touch or intend to do that. And I'll realize that, either my thumb or one of my fingers was actually, hovering near that area on the edge. So it happens from time to time, but not consistently. So I'm okay with it so far. Of course, the screen looks amazing, so I'm willing right. to forgive the minor issue. But yeah, I mean, given a choice, I would always prefer the flat screen to a curved one because of the additional glare that comes in.
A couple of years back, even TV manufacturers were pushing these curved TVs. They never took off either. If you remember.
Yeah, I think, but the thing is, I think the intention of that was to actually avoid the glare. but the problem was that, unless you are seated like right in dead front of the TV, you got a very distorted picture. So it was done with good intention, but I think it didn't really work out.
And of course, people are complaining that, considering that OnePlus calls the OnePlus 8 a flagship, it should ship with wireless charging. I have no doubt that the OnePlus 8T is going to have the wireless charging. But for now, wireless charging is reserved only for the OnePlus 8 Pro. Honestly, I think OnePlus should stop this nonsense. First of all, they have two releases every year with the T. And now with having the Pro version, and then of course we are going to, like we spoke earlier, you're going to have the Z, which is the budget version. Don't you wish at least they drop the T or they drop the Pro?
Yeah, I think, they can still have the T and the Pro, since I think they want to, like everybody else, they want to basically follow Apple's lead in having the branding, having two versions of their phones. But I think it's kind of about time that they dropped the 6-month cycle and went over to a more of a yearly cycle for their updating their models. Because off late it's been pretty minimal right. improvements. I'm not taking anything away from OnePlus, but basically the hardware side has kind of been so saturated that even the phones that are like a couple of years old have almost as good performance as the current flagship. So there's not much meaningful improvement there. There doesn't seem to be any reason why you should release some new phone every 6 months.
Absolutely. And the only thing it ends up doing is crushing the people who bought a new OnePlus, only to find that within 2 or 3 months, they don't have the latest phone anymore. The other thing I've read about, and honestly, this is not something which I've seen, is OnePlus displays apparently are supposed to have this issue called the black crush. I know my friend Siddharth, for example, if he just hears this, he's going to rant about the black crush. And going by his words, it's something like once you notice that, it's very hard not to ignore it, and it kind of spoils. You won't be able to look at your phone again after that. Do you know about the issue? Do you know what the black crush is supposed to be? Have you encountered anything?
It's the thing is, I have tried to reproduce whatever issue they mention as a black crush. It's kind of the way I would describe it is areas where it's supposed to be totally pitch black, but it turns out to be kind of grayish. Basically, it's supposed to be like a feature of OLED screens that they are capable of going really truly black. But then because of this issue where you have a black crush, you actually lose that advantage because it behaves slightly similar to the LCD screen where true blacks become almost like dark grays.
But TV has that. But
even though it's supposed to, TVs, since they are LCDs, right? I mean, they typically will have that issue, but as a OLED, you are not supposed to exhibit that issue, and some of those displays might be showing that. And that is what, I think it's more of a quality control thing. I think it's if the panel has some issues, it might show that, and is what I feel, because I haven't noticed it in my 7 Pro, although I did see that in actually my older Pixel, the original Pixel.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't seen it in the Pixel 3 as well. Pixel 3 seemed to be pretty much as expected. But original Pixel definitely had a black crush. And I've seen some examples that people have provided about the OnePlus 8 Pro black crush. And yeah, it seems pretty bad. But luckily for me, in my both the OnePlus 7T and the 7 Pro, I haven't seen that happen.
All right. And of course, the other complaint, we spoke about this a bit earlier, was the fact that they went for a macro lens instead of the telephoto. Honestly, I can see the benefits of either. And I guess if you wanted a telephoto, you would crib about it. But a macro is good to have too, isn't it?
Yeah, these fancy other type of cameras, I think it's like, I think telephoto and ultra wide are useful, but this other things like, macro, I think they may see some occasional use, and, beyond that initial enthu that you have with the new phone, once you get through like first couple of months, you may slowly stop using it. And after that, you may not even, use it, other than very occasionally. So I think everybody should standardize on at least a telephoto and ultra-wide. But yeah, this macro lens, I think it's like a nice to have, but not really my needed one.
Overall, of course, the reviews have been highly positive, and looks like OnePlus carries the torch of being the most value, most bang for the buck, most paisa vasool phone. Amazing, right? That they've been able to hold on to this title for what, almost like 4 or 5 years in a row now?
Yes, and I didn't expect them to do it. Although I would still like to, would have liked to see them go for a little lower price on the OnePlus 8. Series, but they still ended up being at the bottom of the current generation flagship. So good for them.
Always wait for the OnePlus 8Z, which is supposed to be the budget OnePlus 8. We'll wait.
It seems to be shaping up to be a pretty attractive or interesting phone, because originally the rumors were that they were going with a MediaTek processor on that one, but recent leaks have shown that it's actually the Snapdragon 765G, yes, which is basically makes it on par with the Pixel 5.
Right.
And if they undercut Pixel 5 in price, then, which is 99% likely.
Right.
I think they have a real big hit on their hands.
Absolutely. We will wait and see. And of course, once the OnePlus 8, we will keep you updated on the OnePlus 8Z or the OnePlus 8Z, as we say in India. And now on to my favorite part of the podcast, that is Geek versus Geek. We've got, are you carrying forward the OnePlus 8 theme with your app pick?
I actually, looking at the major discussion in this episode, I thought I'll just keep to that theme and talk about one of those apps for which is very useful for owners of OnePlus phones. This app is called the Oxygen Updater. I'm sure people who have gone through at least more than one OnePlus phone would already be aware of it, especially in India. But in case you are not, basically this is an app that helps you pull in the latest updates from OnePlus onto your phone. And the reason being that, you know, OnePlus, again, when they release the OS updates for their phones, it takes a long time to actually trickle out to every location and every carrier and all that. So it may be quite a while since to see that same update show up on your phone. And I don't blame them right now, because much bigger vendors, I mean, and especially the one per company that's supposed to do everything instantly, which is Google, has been, you know, equally lax in the speed of rolling out their updates. So I wouldn't blame OnePlus for that. But what this app does is basically it connects to their update servers and directly pulls in the zip file with the latest incremental update. And then you can actually install it offline. And this is basically, it's taking advantage of a feature that OnePlus themselves have, you know, put in their Android version, where, you know, say through your settings, you can actually install updates that are downloaded as a file onto your storage. You don't have to really, pull it from their servers through the normal process. You can actually point your settings to a folder in your storage and have it take a zip file and then update the phone. So what this Oxygen Updater does is it simply checks their update servers and pulls that zip file onto your storage. And then you can just go into your regular settings and then install the update via the normal process. And the great thing is you don't have to do anything like rooting your phone or anything which you are not comfortable doing. You can keep your phone on the original OS without making any without doing any hacky things, and it works perfectly. So I have been using that right from the day one of getting my phone, and you know, every time it has helped me get the update right away. I mean, the moment I read about it on any blog, I go and open up my Oxygen Updater and I see that the update is already there and I'm able to install it right away. So I think anybody who has a OnePlus phone should definitely have this as a required app on there. And good thing is, I mean, other nice thing is it's actually developed by an Indian.
This is not something made by OnePlus.
No, this is not made by OnePlus. This is actually a third party app made by an Indian. And, but the thing is, OnePlus, I think, has endorsed this app in their community forums. So that is where I actually got the details for this app and found it in the first place. So OnePlus, I think, in their forums, they actually suggest to users to get that app if they are not seeing the updates.
Excellent. And Samsung users, I'm sorry. You can install this, but I doubt if it's going to do anything to help your phones. It's a pity. So that's Oxygen Updater. And my app is a game pick. It's something called Escape Team. And I found this too. I mean, while this was, I think, part of my recommendation in one of my first newspaper columns. And what I had... this is for people who enjoy remember the good old days when we used to go to malls. I guess they're opening back tomorrow, but things are never going to be the same again, at least for now. So we had escape rooms where you could go and, you know, you're locked in a room along with your friends and you have to solve some mystery to get out of the room. Maybe there's a ticking time bomb or whatever the hell. You have some puzzle and you need to get some clues, solve them to make it out of the room. Now that we are all effectively in lockdown in our own houses. This game lets you recreate an escape room right in your house. So the app, it's a freemium one. So at the level one is free. I think they have an introduction, and also the first mission is free. And once you, it is kind of a craft project also. So you'll have to go to their site and also download a PDF, which again you have to print out, and then you know you cut, and those are the clues which you have. And when you're ready, you basically your phone becomes you need the app on the phone, and when you start it and say that okay, I'm playing the first mission. For example, I think the first one is where there's a ticking time bomb, and you've got like 4 minutes left. There are clues, and you'll have to rummage in that whatever things which you have printed out and cut out and all. They contain some kind of clues. You'll have to solve the first clue. It'll take you to the second clue, etc., etc. The first mission is quite decent. It starts off pretty easily. They do have additional missions, and each of them cost I think 100 rupees or 99 cents, close to that. So I think definitely worth it, because even though you have to pay for each one separately, there is a lot of work which the developer puts in behind each one, because for each of these you'll have to go get the get the PDF online, print it out, and of course some of them get really crazy, some of them are really really inventive. So you make sure that you are not somebody like me with who can't even cut paper properly. So make sure you have some teammate or somebody in your house who can do all that properly. But once it's done, it's an amazing way to spend a half a day with your family. You can play a couple of missions, and it's certainly far lesser than what you would have spent in a actual escape room in a mall. I think those cost about $1,000 if I remember right. So here you're just spending about $100. So that's Escape Team. We'll have a link to Escape Team as well as the Oxygen Updater in the show notes. So you can just click it right there in your on the podcast app, and it'll take you to iOS, the App Store, or the Play Store. Well, that's pretty much it. Is there any big news coming up? No, there's nothing on the anvil, is there, Vijay, right now?
I don't think I haven't seen anything major heading this way for at least the next week or two. So
you never know.
But we still need to wait for the rescheduled PS5 and the Google event. So let's see if they make some announcements in that regard in the next week or two.
If there's nothing else, there are always leaks. So we always have leaks. So anyway, that's it for now. And until next time, take care.